I wouldn't have used that to Jesus. I'd have used my name right there in the place of Jesus. But since I got saved, he's the best friend I have. It's the sweetest name. I tell you what, you can go anywhere you want to, and you can say, "Hey, Jesus," and I tell you what, people will stop and listen. They'll stop and listen. They'll wonder where it come from. You know, we have a whole lot of Mexicans out here that's what their name is. Their name is Jesus, spelt the same way. And if we don't watch it when we act there, and we say it out loud, they'll turn their head.
They pronounce it Jesus.
Jesus, but it's spelt the same. But it's spelt the same way. Oh me.
That's the Spanish word.
Yeah. But all righty. Well, I know we're going to be having revival in about a month, a little over a month now. But I think we as individuals, we need to start thinking about it. We need to start thinking really hard about revival for each one of us. You know, we can have all the revivals we want to have. But if our heart's not right, and if we don't have revival within our own soul, we cannot have revival. The Lord's not going to bring it unless we are willing to give of ourselves. And, you know, revival today, you know, you don't even have revival anymore. I mean, they just might well call it what it is, a series of meetings, because that's all it is. But I think we need to have old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. We want to get a hold to our hearts. And if the Holy Spirit gets a hold to our hearts, it's nothing going to keep us down. It's nothing going to keep us quiet. Why? Because we know exactly what the Lord wants us to do. And I thank God that not only do I need revival? Yes, I need revival. But we all can use it this day and time. Because there's so many people out here that is hurting. And you can see it upon their face. We don't have to speak to them. We don't have to talk to them. But we can see it on the face that they're hurting. And they missing something, and they don't know what it is. And not only the young people, but the elderly people, the ones that have stood the test of time, has really stayed with the church, has stayed with God. They feel like that they're not getting nothing today. And I can understand when some of them say, "Well, you know, I was saved here at this church, and I've been a member of this church for so many years. My mother, my father was a church member." I can understand all of that. But you know, really, when we get down to it, the membership does not make no difference. Even the name of the church does not make no difference. What makes a difference is who we have in our heart and our soul that leads us and guides us and directs us. But what can we do? What can we do as an individual to have revival? You know, it's not but eight of us here.
Six.
Eight of us here tonight, or nine. But did you realize that with nine people, if we would just ask the Lord, say, Lord, here I am. I need a touch from on high. I need revival. And if we'll go to Him each and every day and say, Lord, I need revival. Because I don't believe it's a day that where we can go through that we don't need a touch from God. And we do. We need a touch from Him. We really do. But over here in Psalms chapter 85, in verses 4 through 7, we can see right here where the psalmist David, he's speaking about the places that he has been. He's also speaking about different places around. But here in chapter 85 in the book of Psalms, it looked like here lately that that's where I'm headed a whole lot of times is the book of Psalms. But you know, the book of Psalms, it's a good book. It really is. I believe if we'll read it, it'll keep us humble. And if we will read the book of Proverbs, it'll also keep us also humble. But it says right here, said in verse 1 of chapter 85 of the book of Psalms, Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all thy sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. For He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Ye, the Lord, shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before Him, and shall set Him in the way of His steps. Our Father, we want to thank You, Lord, today. We thank You, Father, that we do have Your precious word that You've given us. Father, Your word that where we can just take it and we can read it. We don't have to memorize it. You've given us, Father, the word where we can be able to read it. And as we look down upon the words that, Father, that You could speak to our hearts, I thank You once again for salvation. I think, Lord, that one day there at Calvary, You seen well that I would need a Savior. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that You went all the way. You just didn't stop right there. And You just didn't tell the individuals there that was hanging him there to the cross, that you cannot do this. You're wrong in doing this. No. He kept his mouth shut. And Father, we thank you that he did. That when they took and they planted that post with him hanging there, and as his body jerked, Father, we know the pain. Some of the pain that maybe he had to go through. And Father, we've never experienced that type of pain. But Lord, we have read about it. And Father, we have seen in your word where that anger that was upon him that day. And I know, Lord, that he was not, that you was not to the point that you was willing to come down from the cross. Because, Father, what they've done to your darling son. We thank you that you left your son there on the cross. We thank you, Father, for my Lord and my Savior, that I was upon his mind that day. And I'm so thankful that he was willing to love me that much, to go and to die and to shed his blood for me. So Father, all I can do as far as myself, I must give him everything that I have. I must give him my life. I must dedicate my being over to him. That whatever he wants to do with my life, he has the okay with me because of what he done at Calvary. Father, we want to thank you and we want to pray tonight, Lord Jesus, that you'll just help us with our precious word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Some people in some churches, I've even heard head churches say, why can't we have revival? Why can't the United States have a revival? Why can't the city of Danville have revival? Why can't we have revival? We can have revival. But it has to start with you. And it has to start with me. If we have revivals in our own heart, we're going to let people know it. We ain't gonna worry about what people may say about us. That is the biggest problem I think the Christian has. They're so scared and so worried about what somebody else may say about them. May say, well, hey, are you crazy? They call you the wild man. You look crazy. You stupid in doing what you're doing and everything. Here it is on Sunday, you take all your time out on Sunday to go to church and everything. Hey, I may be crazy. People look at me sometimes like I'm crazy. But that's okay. But one thing about it, I'm crazy for the Lord. They need to get crazy too. They need to get crazy too. They need to hear the Lord speak to the heart. That's the reason people today are struggling. That's the reason the United States of America is struggling. That's the reason that the economy is just about broke. That's the reason that we're having all the stuff that's going on, all the perversions like Sodom and Gomorrah. We can nickname the United States of America as Sodom and Gomorrah. And it would not be no difference than what it is. Because that's the way it's got. But why has it got that way? because the people has not really wanted revival. I want revival. Because I know it's when I have revival, when the Lord touches me, and when I see the hand of God move in a way. I don't want a series of meetings. We've had the revival here. We've had Jubilee here. And we've had some wonderful times here since I've been here. We really have. Why? Because we allow people to come in. We allowed preachers. We allowed pastors to come in to preach the Word of God. And they was not, we did not put no bridle upon them. We did not say, well, you can't say this. You can't preach on this. You can't preach on that. If you do, you're not going to be able to preach again. No. I done took the bridle off. As long as they stand with God's Word, hey, the more than welcome to come in and preach, as long as they preaching from the right book. But we have, I wish a whole lot of people right here, and I know that you'll agree with me on this, that a whole lot of people are here, and I know it's on Facebook, and I know all of that, that they'll put quotes of scripture on Facebook, and they'll write it down. But I wish that they would do something different. I wish they wouldn't even put the chapter or the name of the book or the verse that it comes from or the name of the Bible that they're using and just write out the words. Because people are looking towards what they're preaching. I can get up here right now and I can quote some stuff from the NIV, but I'm not going to do it. Because why? Because it's not right. It's not right in the sight of God. God does not want me to do that. Only thing God wants me to do is to stick with Him. To stick with Him. Revival broke out in the streets of Jerusalem. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, 1 through 17. Says right here. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 17. I mean 21 and verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of the Olive. Then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, till ye, the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto the meek, and setting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the tree and strawed them in the way, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and brought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall not be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priest and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna, the Son of David, they were so displeased. And when and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Ye, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and suckling, thou hast perfected praise. And he lifted them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. We see right here where revival had taken apart within the city of Jerusalem. We see right here where they sung, Hosanna, the Son of David. Hosanna, the Son of David. Can we say that today? Can we really worship the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, we can, and we should. We should not allow anyone. We should not allow our family. We should not allow our neighbors. We should not allow our co-workers to dictate to us and whom we worship and whom we are calling to. But they do. We say, well, I don't want to. Lord, I just. Lord, you know, if I just get a bit shout, Lord, you know it's going to offend somebody. It's going to offend somebody, and some of the people that's here, Lord, they may not even come back to church. Hey, as long as the Lord is in it, as long as when we stand up and we can shout for the glory of God, if we land on our feet, walking with Jesus, he will not allow the other individuals to keep us from doing it. We must do what we can. I must do all I can to try my very best to get people to understand that they're lost, that they're going to hell. Because you know, and this is a thin line, and I know I'm gonna get off on that thin line. But I just don't understand how people can say, yes, I know the Lord. I can tell you the exact time that the Lord saved me. I can take you right straight to the place but yet, where are they at? People are going to serve the one that they're close to. And people may not realize it, how close that they are to the devil. They're walking with the devil, and they don't realize it. Why? Because me and Brother Charlie was talking after church outside. And he said something, and which I knew it, and I agreed with him. He said, "What's wrong with people today?" And he says, "I'll be honest with you." He says, "Reason I don't come back at night, I just don't like coming by myself." But he told me, he says, "In a couple of weeks, my mom is going to be back with me. And she told me last evening, she told me, she says, I miss church." See, Sister Brenda, it's been a while since she's worked. And she works with pain. And I know that you do too. We all work at times with pain. And we all have pain in doing the Lord's work. We have pain when we come out to church. But I believe that's another sacrifice that we are giving up. We are saying, "Lord, here I am tonight. Me, myself, I cannot bear the pain that I'm bearing. Lord, I can't even walk. Lord, and I don't particularly like walking with a cane. But Lord, I know that that cane will keep me from falling. Lord, I don't like that." He says, "I know you don't, son." He said, "I know you don't, lady. I know you don't like that. And I don't like for you to have all of that on you." Brother Charlie said something this morning, and how true it is. We as people, we really think that we know God. And a whole lot of times, we may not know him as well as we ought to. So Brother Charlie said this. He said, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, even what you want to call him, he knows the Bible better than any other scholar, than anybody else does, except for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ knows the Word because it speaks about him. It's all about the Lord Jesus. But the devil knows the Word too. And he can take that Word, and he can take it, and he can give it to us, and he can speak to us in a way to where we think it's of the Lord. But we need to come and we need to pray about it and say, "Lord, is this you? Is this you, Lord? Are you the one that wants me to do this? Or is it the devil?" See, the devil knows how he can get to us. And the only way the devil can get to us and to turn our hearts around is through our minds. It's through our mind. Over in the book of Peter, he says, we must strive to have the mind of God. We must strive to have the mind of God. And what Peter is talking about there, Peter is talking about we need to have the mind of God. That means that we need to be that close to God. So when God speaks, or when God just whispers, it will kind of hurt our ears. And we want to know it come from God.
I don't believe the devil whispers. The devil's going to get our attention, going to try his very best to get my attention any way he can. Because what the devil wants me, yes, to get up here and start reading from one, another Bible. The devil wants me to get out of the pulpit. The devil wants me back out in the world. The devil wants me going up and down the highway. The devil wants me to do his work for him. Because just like God, the devil cannot do his work unless the people do it. God can't do his work unless his chosen people do his work. We are here for a reason. We don't have the Lord Jesus Christ walking around. I know that I can remember back, probably in the 70s, I think it was, or early 70s, middle 70s, or somewhere, that down on Riverside Drive, every now and then you see this gentleman walk, and he would be, he wouldn't have the only clothes he would have on. He would have that sack on that had feed in it that come from the farmers. He would have that sack on. He was trying to portray Christ. To me, and I say it today, that won't nothing but just bringing a mockery to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is not there anymore. He's not there walking around on the earth where we can see him with our bare eyes. I cannot see the Lord Jesus Christ with these physical eyes that I have. But I can see him through his word. As I read his word. As I read his word tells me that yes, they went and they plucked his beard out. Now, some people say, well, he didn't have no beard. Well, if he didn't have no beard, then why is it in the Bible? Why is it there? He did have a beard. And they plucked his beard. They just grabbed a hold to it. And they, I don't think they went up there with a pair of tweezers and grabbed one little hand like that, pulled it out. No, I believe he took the hands and they grabbed a hold of his beard and they yanked it just like that. And when they pulled it out, he had blood running down. Flesh had been opened. And then what did he do? They went and they took him and they strapped him there on that post. Put his arms around that post where he could not get loose. Where he could not do anything for himself. But they strapped him. Can you imagine just being strapped to a post or just lying in the bed and your mama and your daddy told you to do something that day and you didn't do it, you disobeyed them and everything, and then mama and daddy come up that afternoon after you done went to bed and say, son, daughter, you know what's coming. You know what's coming. I knew what was coming to me, and it won't no switch that went out there on the to come off that apple tree. It won't no switch to just come off of that pine tree out there in the yard. No, my stepfather would take and he would grab up that leather strap about that long that it would take and sharpen the straight razor on so he could trim our the hair on her neck. He would bring that up and I knew what was coming. I knew what was coming if I done something wrong that day that I wasn't supposed to be doing. or if I disobeyed and I talked back to him or my mother, either one. I knew what was coming that night around 9 or 10:05 or 10 minutes past 9, because we all had to be in the bed by 9 o'clock. I knew what was coming. We'd be all upstairs. We had a great big room upstairs and everything, and we had 5 beds up there where all of us would go to bed. You know when 5 or 10 minutes past 9 come, because you'd hear the door, the bottom of the steps open. And it needed to be oiled and everything, but I don't know why, but the oil, it just dried up overnight or something, I don't know. But then he would come up the steps as quiet as he could. I knew what was coming. I knew what was coming. It was that leather strap that was coming. Yes. And I never understood it until after I was married, until after we had Christy. I did not understand it, where they would say, "Son, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you." I mean, I look at him, and my other brothers look at him like, "Man, you are completely crazy. You done lost it. How can it hurt him as much as it does us when we are the one that's getting the strap?" And yes, we could be balled up, and we can even tie the sheets up, the blankets up. We can tie them up and put them in a knot and everything. But he'd make sure he'd wait until we got out. Got the knot out. He'd make sure that we'd get out from under the cover. Then that's when he would get to us. The Lord Jesus Christ was the same way. He said, "Son," he said, "I'm taking this beating for you. You can't take this beating. You can't stand the beating. I'm taking this beating for you." How can we take a beating like the Lord Jesus Christ did? We can't. We can't fathom it, how we can take the beating that the Lord Jesus Christ took for us. We must have revival also, to where it will break out, not just in the church, but we need also to where revival can break out anywhere we go. Why? Because we have true revival. What happened to the revival there in the book of Mark? I think it's chapter 4 or 5 there, where the lunatic, when he went and he went about cutting himself, and he was in a graveyard running, fleeing. He was fleeing from God, because what God wanted him to do, the only thing that God wanted him to do, was to go to his wife and apologize to her. That's the only thing he wanted the sinner that to do. He wanted him to go and apologize. He wanted him to go back and be a husband to his family, to his wife, and be a father to his children. I mean, he won't ask him that much from the individual. He's not asking that much of us today,
to where we can go out here and serve him, and we must serve him. We cannot serve one another. We cannot serve the church. We have to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we serve in him, we can have revival. Why? Because he brings peace. He brings peace to each one of us. You know, I've said it up here time and time again. Up in Washington, D.C., they're always talking about peace. Well, they're not no more since Obama's up there. But at one time, they was always talking about peace. Peace over in the Middle East. Well, they don't realize. But there's never going to be peace on this earth until the Prince of Peace reveals himself and comes back. The Prince of Peace. Revival broke out in the jailhouse. Where Paul went, revival always broke out. Revival broke out there in the jailhouse where him and Silas was at. And you know, they said, well, Elvis Presley, he came up and he wrote the words to the song, "The Jailhouse Rock." What he didn't realize, and what people today realize, that it wasn't Elvis that wrote the words. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that wrote the words. Because the Lord Jesus Christ gave the same words to Paul and Silas. Why? Because the jailhouse, it did rock. It just did not become because Paul and Silas. Because I believe Paul was after God's own heart, just like David was. Woo, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You talking about the jailhouse? You talk about a prayer meeting? You talking about a church service? It wasn't but two individuals in that jail, and that was Paul and Silas. Then it was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. So that was the eight individuals there in the jailhouse. Don't you think that they had a time? Oh, I do. I'd love to be in a jailhouse when something like that would break out. Wouldn't you? I would love to be. I'd love to be locked up behind the bars. If the Lord would come in a way like that. But it would be up to me if the Lord did. It was left up to Paul and Silas. But they prayed. They prayed until they got an answer from God. And what did they do? The guard had went about looking up and down the hall, probably there, and seeing how many cells was empty. Because it wasn't just Paul and Silas' cell where the door flew open. I believe all of them flew open because the earthquake was astonishing. It was to the point that Paul knew what was happening. I believe Paul knew exactly what was happening. And Paul knew that he had to stay right there
in the dungeon, right there in his cell. Oh, yes, Paul could have, he could have just got up, him and Silas both could have got up, and they could have walked out and left. But then what would have happened if they had left? That guard would have killed himself, right? He'd have never had the opportunity to get saved.
That's the way I was. That's the way we all was at the time. We had somebody that the Lord was going to use. That wasn't going to come out of that cell, but was going to wait for us to come by it and introduce us to Jesus. That guard that day, he didn't have no idea what was about to happen. The only thing he knew was going to happen, that he was going to lose his life. Because see, back then, if a convict or a prisoner, if they escaped, then the guard that was looking over them would automatically lose his life. He pulled out his sword and he was going to jab it into his heart or side or whatever, but he was going to take his own life. What did Paul say? Do thyself no harm. Do thyself no harm. Paul led him to the Lord Jesus Christ that day. And as he led him to the Lord Jesus Christ, the soldier, the guard, said to Paul, and I don't know if he said it in these very words, but I believe if he said it in a way where we could understand, I believe Paul and I believe the jailer would say, Brother Paul, he could call him Brother Paul then, because he was saved. He says, I want for you and Silas to come to my house. Come to my house and bring what you've told me to where my individuals, my family can accept you. Can accept the Lord Jesus Christ where he has touched your life. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he touches our life each and every day. I don't understand why he does. Even to this day, I still don't understand how and why he wanted to go and take that beating for me when I wasn't worthy of it. I'm not worthy of his love, or his mercy, or his grace. I'm not worthy of it. But I am thankful that he's seen something in me that I could not see. He sees something in you that you cannot see. He can see and he can experience the dedication that you've made to him. And you have all have dedicated your life to him. I can prove that. You know how I can prove that? Because you're here tonight. You know how I can prove that? Because the church doors are still open. How can I prove that? When we was coming up and when we was doing some amendments to the bylaws, you say, well, and even plus this last Sunday night, Someone said, we got to make sure that they preach God's word. We got to make sure they preach the King James book. That right there tells me something. That tells me of your dedication to Him. An individual that dedicates their self and their life to the Lord would not do them things. They wouldn't. And I mean, I hate to tell you, they would not stick with the King James Bible. And they would not stick with the church with just 9 people in it. They would not stick with God that close. If it wasn't for the dedication and the commitment that they had made to the Lord. They made a commitment. You made a commitment to the Lord when He saved you. And I believe you made a commitment too at the particular time when it looked like everybody else was just leaving you. Some people, you may say, well, some people left and I didn't think would ever leave. I thought they'd be right here with us until we go home. We're here. We're here. You're here. I'm here. I just soon as go home to heaven from right here, from out of this pulpit. Well, I'd rather just be here singing the song, an invitation song. I'd just soon be right here and go home from here. I'm longing to go home. My wife and my daughter both, they say, says, Daddy, don't talk like that. Says, we know what you're talking about, but just don't talk like that. Says, we don't want you to go right now. We want you to stay around here a while. Well, hey, I'm going to stay around here as long as the Lord wants me to. That's not going to change nothing. But when I say that I'm ready to go, I'm talking about I'm ready to go with the rest of the crowd. I'm ready to go to hop on that bus. Like someone's got the song I hear, hop on the train. Well, you can hop on a train, a bus, an airplane, or whatever. But one of these days, I'm going through the sky. That's the only time that I'm going to be able to fly. I won't get no airplane. I don't like them. I don't like to get up off of the ground. But as long as He takes me with Him, and I know He is, I'm going to be off of the ground. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, we just ask, Father, now, that, Father, that what was said tonight, Lord, we just ask, Father, that You may help each one of us, Father, to realize some things that maybe we have never seen before. It's some things that, Lord, that You spoke to me about. And I'm thankful for that. Father, I'm thankful that You are the only individual, Father, that I want to serve. Yes. And Father, I want to serve You until You come back. And then, Father, then I can be there with You in heaven. I can be able to maybe lay down one or two crowns at Your feet. And I can be able to say, thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You for what You've done for me. Father, we pray, Lord, now that You'll go with us this week.
Be with us, and Father, help us, Lord, that something may show in our life that somebody else can just grab a hold to. They can see where there's something in our life that they don't have. Now, Father, we pray that you'll be with each and every one of the individuals. And Father, we pray, God, tonight, if there's anything upon their hearts tonight, we pray, Father, that if you've spoken to them, and Father, you want them to come forth, we ask, Lord, that you may just help them, give them the desires of their heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.